you this morning with worship in our hearts. In John 4, it says that you're searching the world over. You're searching the world for worshipers, those who will worship you in spirit and truth. We say, Lord, here we are this morning. Just look down here. Here we are. We will worship you with all our hearts, with everything that we have. We love you, Lord God. We love you. And this morning is for you, Jesus. It's all for you. Beautiful Jesus.
How beautiful is the rider on the white horse. Beautiful. How beautiful is the Lamb that was slain.
You are King. You are.
the rider on the white horse. How beautiful is the Lamb that was slain. How beautiful is the rider on the white horse. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. The elders cast their crown and fall. Disciples drop their nets and leave it all. The elders cast their crowns and fall. Disciples drop their nets.
Fragrance, holy yours, come.
my life.
Here's my life as a sacrifice. I'll be the incense, the sweetest fragrance. Holy, all consecrated. sacrifice. I want to be a laid down lover.
Father, thank you that we are your bride, the ones that have been purified by you. Thank you for the holiness that comes by you being with us, that you make us holy, that we cannot do within ourselves. Father, thank you so much for the connection, the intimacy that comes, and the communion that we have with you as your bride. We just present ourselves. We present ourselves afresh to you. Just thank you so much that you accept us as we are. You draw us in. Father, just pray for this, your church, your body. Let's pray for just a purification and a unity. That your spirit be free to move across this country where your body is joined together, worshiping you. There be a settling down of issues on our hearts and the lifting up of things on your heart. That would be one with you this morning. Let's pray for just a rising up of your body, a rising for your church, that we would be able to stand with you as we have become one with you as your bride, that we would be able to lift up the, what affects your heart, what is on your heart, that we'd be able to celebrate what celebrates inside your heart. Father, put the burdens on our heart that are on your heart, that we'd be able to feel that unity, that togetherness. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for moving here. We open our hearts. We open this place to you. We say, welcome, Holy Spirit. We say, welcome. Welcome in our hearts. Welcome to this place. You're free to move. it's quiet. I just want you to just spend that moment, the personal invitation of the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my ways. Be stirred up. I speak to each of your spirits to rise up. To rise up above the flesh, to rise up above the mind, to rise up above the trials of the earth, to rise up. Spirit of God, we welcome you to blow through, to wash through, to envelop us, to overwhelm us. This is your temple. We are your temples. Have your place. We allow you to take the correct, righteous place high above all others. No compromise. With no compromise and no shame, we lift you up. We hold you up. We put you in that place as the worthy God. So worthy, so holy, so good. Not for what you do, but for who you are. The holiness of you. Just you, Yahweh. Welcome your peace. We welcome your ferocity. We welcome that Holy Spirit digging in, the commitment, the conviction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We're going to enter into a time of communion together. As we are going to partake of the elements of the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us. Just want to invite everyone this morning to remember and to receive, honestly, the forgiveness of the Lord. I want to read to you from Psalms 32. Our Lord, you bless everyone whose sins you forgive and wipe away. You bless them by saying, "You told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you." Before I confessed my sins, my bones felt limp, and I groaned all day long. Night and day, your hand weighed heavily on me, and my strength was gone as in the summer heat. So I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, "I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins." Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. We worship you, Lord, and we should always pray whenever we find out that we have sinned. Then we won't be swept away by a raging flood. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. And you put songs in my heart because you have saved me. You said to me, "I will point out the road that you should follow. I will be your teacher and watch over you. Don't be stupid or senseless like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. All kinds of troubles will strike the wicked, but your kindness shields those who trust you, Lord. And so your good people should celebrate and shout. So this morning, just remembering and taking in and receiving, as I said, just that understanding, that revelation that we have been forgiven, that I have been forgiven, that as I confess my sins before the Lord, that I have been forgiven, that there's nothing else on this earth, there's no other power, no other presence, no other being that can do what Jesus did, which offer us forgiveness, to cleanse us and wash us clean, to purify us before our Father God. There's nothing else that can offer that. And as we receive that, as we begin to experience that, as we begin to drink that and absorb that into our hearts, into our very beings, the realization that we have been forgiven, then from that place we can live a life where forgiveness is part of who we are, because we understand that we have been forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, he crushed the enemy's head and he redeemed us and he delivered us, but he also forgave us. He forgave us of our iniquities and our imperfection. That's why we need a Savior, right? That's why we need him in our lives, because it is he who forgives us and wipes away our sin. And what a joy, what a joy, what a joy to live in that knowing that we would know, that we would know in the depths of who we are, that as we confess our sins before him, we are forgiven. This morning, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord, because it's only your humility, Lord God, that leads us, Lord God, that leads us into that place of humility ourselves, to able to recognize and receive, Lord, your forgiveness, oh God. That you forgive us, Lord, this morning, that you are there ever present. That you are there ever present, that as we come to you, that as we hide ourselves in you, Lord, we will be found in you, Jesus. That you would hide us this morning. That you would hide us this morning, Lord. That we would be found in you, Jesus. That we would be found in your redemption and your salvation and your forgiveness and your deliverance. We worship you and we thank you, because only you, Jesus, only you can offer that. Only you freely give that. Only you, Jesus, only you. Only you. So we thank you, Lord, for the joy, as that psalm is titled, The Joy of Forgiveness. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you that you lead us and you guide us, Lord. That your eye is upon us, Father. And we step into that yes this morning. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, the fullness of who you are in our lives. And we thank you for these elements, Lord, that symbolize your body and your blood that was shed for us, that was broken for us. And as we partake of these elements, Lord, we just enter into that place with you. We enter into that place of you, Lord, of repentance, of receiving forgiveness, Lord, so that we can in turn live a life where forgiveness is part of who we are. We Thank you, Lord. You're welcome and invited to take the elements when you want to. When you feel you've had that time with the Lord this morning. We thank you, Jesus.
Before Ashley comes up, just want to read a scripture for all of us right now from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35. Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Psalm 119, 33, 34, and 35. And I was sent this weekend by Pastor Benjamin in Southeast Asia. And we all know Pastor Benjamin differently, but that is what's very important right now, very needed to be able to also refer to him that way. And for many reasons, one being there's just a lot of persecution in Southeast Asia, in particular areas, and he is a major player in standing for righteousness and holiness. He has gone through major suffering in his life, and the Lord has used him mightily, and the anointing, the power in his life is so strong that miracles happen so quickly, and it's the Lord. But the Lord is the one who is saying, keep your eyes on me and give me your life and put me at the highest place. I'm worth it. And the more revelation, the more understanding that we have of what that looks like for each one of us, why we were created, why we're here. Because I didn't know when I was a kid. I didn't know when I was a teenager, even in my early 20s. I didn't get it. But I was very hungry, and I was spiritually hungry and didn't even know that. It was asking questions, and I'm the kind of person that I wanted to know, like, what's this all about? And asking people just really helped me at the time where I was. God bless them all. I didn't have the answers. But the Lord never gave up on me. And then when I was drawn into an encounter with him, not even knowing that's what it was, it wasn't some glorious thing. It was me putting a demand on the God of the universe in my strong way, thinking, well, I told him. And then the Lord showed me, honey, I just have you where I want you, because I am looking and searching all over the world for those whose hearts will be completely mine. And you're one of them. You just don't know it yet. So I'm going to do what I need to do and have you where I have you so that you'll be able to discover me. I'm not hiding from you, but I'm calling you into a place of searching after me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I believe that's where God has us today for all of us as we enjoy his presence and as we partake in the body and blood of Jesus. Remember that Jesus himself said, this is before he died, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, that had to go over really well. Who understands that? And so the Lord, is very, very clear on what he was speaking about and where he was speaking at the time. But people were like, huh? What does that mean? But we trusted him. They trusted him back at the time and said, I don't know, but there must be something to this. Let's follow him. So that's where we are, in a place of discovery in this season in our life. And the Lord is saying, I will give you what you need, because I've called you before the foundations of the world, for your appointed time is now. And so we're all on a journey. We're all in a process. And the Lord's bringing us to that place. As part of that, I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. And many of you will be going to Kingdom Land for the young ones, and young adults in youth will be going into their classes. But I really encourage you, if you're interested in pursuing more of that, that you can watch this online another time, because you won't see it. Because I'm going to share some things and show some pictures and some things that may help with some of the questions and the heart place that you are in right now. Because I felt that as I matured in Jesus, when I came to really know him and give him my life, I thought, God, I want to be able to be used by you all over the world. Didn't know that was going to happen, to be able to impart to people, young particularly, but older as well, that he's worth it. Let me tell you who he is. And I want to spend my life doing that. And I believe that's what he has for all of us in different ways. Amen. So Ash is going to come up here and do something.
Good morning, everyone. So I get the privilege to be able to announce the wonderful thing happening this month, Relentless Pursuit 2023. So at the end of this month, as you can see on the flyer that was passed out to you, we have six wonderful speakers who will be here in person with us. And so we are so very excited. It's going to be October 26th through the 29th. And so then, Denny, if you can flip to the next picture. We also this year get to have multiple virtual speakers. So be ready and be prepared to come hear what God is going to release in this time. So from all over the world, we have speakers either coming in here physically or sharing online. So we have a promo video to show you on that. But I just want to let you know while that's getting pulled up, if you flip to the back of your flyer, it has the conference schedule on the left-hand side. And something new this year that we will be hosting will be a Kingdom Wealth Lunch. So that will be on Saturday afternoon. For those that will be attending, that will be $20 for that. But everything else at the conference is free. So that's the only thing that will be cost $20. And then that... We will have more information about what that will look like, what that will be. But it's a Kingdom Wealth Brunch. It's new this year, so we're very excited for what the Lord will do during that time. And as you can see, all of it will be located here. And we are ready for the promo video. And then you can register online, so we'll get to that after the promo. Go for it.
We got to believe that God still has a plan for us. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter what we have. Doesn't matter what we don't have. We stay with him. He must increase. It's first about him. It's first about God. It's about loving him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. We raise your name up higher than any name on earth. It is so much higher. Yes, Lord, King, King, you're the King, you're the King, you're the King.
O Senhor está te abrindo o céu.
The Lord is opening up the heavens for you.
O Senhor já te abriu o céu.
The heavens are already open.
Tudo é teu, Pai.
Everything is yours.
Tudo é para a tua glória.
Everything is for your glory.
I choose to count the cost and pay the price. I give you my life in fullness right now. I take up my cross, deny myself, and I will follow you.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel, as this gospel is going to go to every nation and tongue and tribe. And then the King of Kings will show up.
Ready for Relentless Pursuit. So we're going to pull up one more slide, but as we're doing that, I also want you all to know that we have been in contact with Mama Heidi Baker, and so we don't want to put her up yet until it's officially confirmed, but we are in process to have her as a virtual speaker this year. So if you can pull up the registration slide, if you all get out your phones right now, and you can pull up on the QR code, the registration, and fill out that form so we can get that started and rolling.
Wow, that was short. That's awesome. So while you're pulling that up and registering, that's great. Can you guys put that picture? I think his name is Arthur from the Poland trip that I mentioned to you, Ash. Do you have that there? There's a picture of Arthur while you guys are registering. I want to show you. And then we're releasing everybody. But I want the young adults to see this who won't be in here. So, excuse me, somewhere. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, when we were doing and having outreach and leading outreach and enjoying outreach in Krakow, Poland, and we were at the city square for the second week of our Poland trip, there was a young adult there who was really messed up. And I believe his name was Arthur. I hope I have that right. But, you know, a lot of people say, hey, it's really dark in Europe. You know, it's going to take a long time for different things to happen. Yeah, this is him. He's just such a great guy. And he had everything going in his life that you can imagine. And I did mention this when we were talking about the Poland trip a long time ago, a month ago, I guess. But it was just really on my heart, even over here as I was sitting next to Pastor Bill, and it's like, show this guy. I want you to see, it's not what he looks like. It's who the Lord says he is to the Lord and where his life is meant to go from that point on. So we had some really cool people on our team. Obviously, you know, we had Mike and Lawrence and Rachel and Ashley, and that was wonderful, and God really did amazing things at that time. We just prepared the team that was going to be part of what we were doing in the mornings with worship and impartation, and then went out on the streets in the later afternoon. And this was in the square, as you all know. But again, I'm saying it online for people who may have heard this for the first time. And Ashley has finished some posts that she's put on Facebook or going to put on Facebook that kind of sums up some of our Poland experiences there. So that will be forthcoming. I believe one's posted. I'm not even sure, so I'm a little hesitant here. So anyway, if you're Facebook people, you can go. And Instagram, it should be out there to be able to capture some things so that the Lord gets the glory. That's why we do what we do. It's not to point to anybody, because we can do nothing without him, and that is for sure. But to this guy, I just want to say real briefly that there were some younger people who had met him the day before, and they were trying to help draw him in, and they didn't want to scare him off. Like, you know, I want him to come back the next day, but, you know, they were a little hesitant at how to share the gospel, possibly, or thinking, you know, let's just kind of befriend him. Whatever it was, that's fine. I didn't know this guy. So one of these younger ones came to me, was from another country, not Poland. And he said, can you come over and lead him to Jesus? Well, I'm a releaser. I like other people to do that. I'm fine with someone else doing that. But I felt the Lord say, it's okay, go ahead. It's like, why do you want me to do this? Because they can certainly do that. And so when I went over there, I heard out of his mouth, and then a couple other guys who came over, another person, hey, it's good to see you want to give Jesus a try. And nobody means anything, you know, they're trying to be, let's help the guy feel comfortable. And very gently, but directly, you know, I kind of felt like I was in China or something. It was like, no, you don't give Jesus a try. But, you know, you just kind of want to be used by God so that the person that you're talking to is really connecting with the Spirit of God in you. So I was used, I believe, by the Lord to help that person see who Jesus really is. And we don't give Jesus a try. It doesn't work that way. But yet at the same time, so confident, not in myself, but with Jesus, who he is in me, to be able to say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And his eyes locked with my eyes. And that's why I think I was sent over there, not just for him, but also for the people who were around, including the ones who were learning how. And so this is where we are, you know, in frontline, but actually around the world, the Lord is saying, you don't give Jesus a try, because the enemy will eat your lunch. If you think I can step in and, you know, Jesus is nice and cuddly and here's my life, okay, maybe, okay, well, there's process that we're in, but the enemy also knows the process that we're in. So when we are able to release from who we are in confidence in the Lord, who Jesus really is, from the revelation that we've been given from God, it's amazing what will happen. Chains will come down. Deliverance can take place even on the spot. And there may be other measures of deliverance, which is setting us free from things that the enemy wants to trip us up with so that we can't walk in our destiny. Simple as that. And so this young man absolutely wanted to give his whole heart, life, soul. As far as I, you know, I'm just a person, and I'm listening, and I'm offering. But there were chains, and I could see them actually in the spirit. I could see real chains in the spirit just go boom, crash open from the gospel, from the power of the gospel. So the gospel is really strong. But if we don't believe that, and we just believe, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and he raised from the dead, that's cool, got it, it's up here. If it's not working for us, there can be a real big hindrance. And I didn't want to see that. The Lord didn't want to see that. So this young man stepped into a real big life change for himself. And it really helped some of the newer ones realize, oh, he's that big? God's that big, yeah. And so it was really great. So this one was freed from many, many things, which I shared with you, and gender confusion, as well as every other thing from near-death experiences to, you know, every possible thing you can imagine. I don't even need to go in it. And God set him free. He couldn't believe it. And the first thing he wanted to do was tell, I talked to him about it, but he went right over to our prophetic table, and he started to tell Lawrence, who was sitting there at the time, what God had done for him. It was just amazing. And it wasn't me. It was the Lord showing up, saying, if you'll believe, if you're free enough to believe, I will do great and mighty things through you. So with that, everybody go to class. God bless you. And the rest of us will go a little bit deeper here. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I passed out and didn't get there because the Lord took it a different direction. Passed out 100 scriptures, vision, if you remember, with our paper trail, and then you got another fresh batch last week when Pastor Bill was preaching. And then I was told there were a lot of scriptures that were on there twice. And I can just tell you, I went to a website, and I wanted to get a bunch of scriptures to pass out to you all. So there were some redundancy there. Scriptures were repeated. So it was edited, and also we're going to be able to have it online so that, you know, we can have some kind of group. Joe and I were talking about this and how we can get that out to you more effectively, more easily. So if you're not a paper person, you know, we can work on that. So, yeah, we're going to do that. But for today, you still have it because it's been a very busy week. For me, we haven't gotten as far as I would want to see, but I think it's good. So you've got one that says 83 scriptures, so you can pitch it eventually if you're like, I don't want all this paper, but you've got it today. And so online, you know, we're going to have it available for you. But I wanted to give you some of those scriptures and talk about a few of them and mention to you in the midst of all of this, the things that the Lord's been putting on my heart so that we can be expecting not just for ourselves, but for why we're created. You all are very familiar with Matthew 10, and you all know that Matthew 10 speaks about the Lord releasing the disciples, and we know that I've spoken about it here recently and for years, and Pastor Bill too, but we know that when the disciples really were going to be sent out as sheep among the wolves, it's before Jesus died and raised, and so when he was commissioning them to go out, he said, as you go, preach the kingdom, as you go. Preach the kingdom. So if we don't preach the kingdom as we go, or we don't go and we can't preach the kingdom, you know, all of that is very important. Every word in the scriptural sense is so vital and so important. But he said, as you go, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because we have done that in the past, but AKA, the meaning of that is you're going to go out supernaturally. You're going to live supernaturally. You're going to walk with fresh oil. The song that we sang actually earlier said, I want to be the oil. Well, when you're talking about buying fresh oil, when you're thinking about the parable of the five foolish virgins and five wise virgins, and we want to be prepared, it's like, go get your own oil. That's go connect with the Lord intentionally yourself. Holy Spirit lives in you. Now connect with him. And so this oil will increase over you. Get your own. In other words, you can't be somebody else's idea, somebody else's words. The words that someone would speak to you would be anointed words, trust, hopefully from the Lord, that will stir us up to release more of the oil of his presence inside. And then the Holy Spirit can also come upon us as fresh oil. That's a whole other message. But the point is that when we lay ourselves down on the altar and said, make me a resting place, I want to be holy before you, the Lord's telling us, I don't want you just to pull back from things that you used to do. I want you to be consecrated, set apart, being holy towards something or someone. So we're consecrating ourselves to be holy as he is holy. Because the holiness of God is something, it's not just a concept, an idea, it's the presence of God, the holiness of God that overtakes us in such a way that the oil of his presence, him himself, he, Holy Spirit, as fresh oil, consumes us, takes us over. And we become like him. We become the message more and more because Jesus is the message, not just a messenger. So we study him in the word as, oh, he's this, the great missionary. He's a messenger. Yes, because he is the message. So the messenger is carrying the message. And the Lord says, I want each one of us to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Father says that. Be conformed to the likeness of my son. Okay, how do I do that? What do? I take steps. You know, I'm in the word, and I fast, and I pray, and, you know, all these kinds of things. And they're all good. And the Lord says, with the right heart, as I am drawing you, I will bring you into that place of being completely wrecked, you know, before me, in my presence. It's like, okay, these words that we live under, if you will, and we hear week after week, year after year, the Lord says, you know, these words are not empty words. They're words of life. And these words I want you to receive because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So these are words from the scriptures. It's not my opinion. It's the word of God. So, you know, when I was thinking about this Arthur, I thought, wow, that's really, really cool to watch that and go, whoa, that's really, that's amazing. Okay, that's one person right there. Were there masses, like thousands of people there? No. At that point, coming up and receiving? No. But there were masses of people that were milling around. It's like, Lord, how do you want to do this? Why do you want to get them? What's the key? And he's in charge of his presence being released, but we're called to do the work of the gospel, do the work of a missionary, do the work of an evangelist. Jesus is evangelism. Jesus is worship. It's not in our little finite brains, you know, we mix worship and evangelism, saying, ah, worship is my warfare, but I need to do the work of an evangelist. Okay, how does all that work? And the Lord says, you know, I'm going to unpack that for you. I'm going to unpack it over the course of your life, but I want to bring you into alignment, perfect alignment, where I want you to be at this time in your life, and you will allow me to use you to discover the deep treasures and the mysteries that I have released already in the world, to the world, to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And if I choose to release greater mystery, I will do that because I'm God and you're not. And we're drawing into the last days, more of the last days. I mean, that's no big shake. But the Lord is saying, I want you to understand. Shake meaning that's not a new revelation, like really. That's what I mean by that. But the Lord is saying, I want you to understand. Just don't just go study last days. Spend that time with the Lord where you're soaking in his presence and you're hearing from him, and he's breathing in you, and he's setting us free from the traps in our minds, in our wills, and in our emotions. And many times we need other people to help with that. Sometimes we don't. And there's no shame either way. It's like, Lord, I want to be as free as possible, so there's nothing blocking this fresh oil flowing through me, in me, and then out to the world, out to others. And so
That is where we are. Obviously, that's not a new concept. But I believe the Lord is saying, I'm accelerating that. And I don't know about you. I'm hearing that, and I'm seeing that, and I want that. Why am I? Is it because, you know, I'm part of boomerisms and all that? You know, I should be part of the younger set. Well, I'm not. I'm a baby boomer, so I'm not. But yet at the same time, my spirit is. And it's like, Lord, I see the long, sometimes feeling arduous process in my own life. But at the same time, it's like he's preparing me and has prepared me and Bill and others to be able to step into even more of the acceleration that's very helpful for where we all are as a body, no matter what our age is. Because the Lord is looking at the wisdom that he's giving and pouring out. This morning, I was reading Proverbs 3, and it's like, oh, I just want to get up there and read all these scriptures and quote some of them, you know, to everybody. And I know with our time being in America, we're not in Africa, that, you know, we're not going to be able to do that. So I exhort you to read and read and read and meditate and cry over Proverbs chapter 3. Some of us are very familiar with Proverbs 3. Pastor Bill's been preaching about wisdom for a very long time. And he was like, yes, I want wisdom of God. I want the fear of the Lord. I want it all, yes. And God says, stay like that. Never change. Because the minute that you take your eyes off of me at all, guess who's waiting in the wings to try to, you know, encourage you to keep being stupid. And so the Lord is watching us and saying, I don't want you to stumble. But at the same time, when I say stupid, God actually uses that word in Scripture. He doesn't call us that. But he doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to stay on the narrow road and to get back in on the narrow road if we've veered to the left or to the right. And it's for our protection. It's for our safety, for the safety of our own lives, our families' lives, the future, and all of that, and for God's plan. But he also knows that we're going to mess up and we're going to make mistakes. Therein lies the place of grace that God gives us, because he is grace. He doesn't just give grace, but he says, I am grace. So when you're flowing with me, there may be a tendency to go back into the old man, go back into the law, go back into justice. But the Lord says, excuse me, I'm going to show you what grace and mercy really looks like. And then I'm going to show you and remind you that the thief on the cross didn't have a whole lot of time to get it right, other than his heart was recognizing Jesus. He couldn't even do that if the Lord didn't pull the veil off of him. The one thief was all about himself, as you know, and then the other thief said, hey, Jesus, remember me. Remember me, your king. So many words. And he said, today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. It's like, whoa, can you imagine? That would make it worth it all, I would think, at the moment. So the Lord is teaching us, and he's saying, I'm going to lead you into what great grace looks like. At the end of chapter 4 in Acts, I'm just speaking what I'm hearing, there's a place in Scripture that talks about the people who were experiencing great revival after persecution, because we all know that everybody got filled with the Spirit in Acts 1, and it was just so great, and, you know, Peter gave a message after that, you know, they're all waiting and tarrying for a long time. Jesus said, go wait until the Holy Spirit comes and endues you with power. And then when that happens, woo, you will go to in Jerusalem, then out into Judea, Samaria, and all corners of the earth. So that happened, and then Peter preached a message to 3,000 people, and those 3,000 people were like, God, cut to the heart, filled with the Spirit of God, the ones who denied him, Peter being one, and others who just kind of couldn't get it along the line, the disciples, they're just all blasted with the power of the Holy Ghost. And everything changed. I mean, these guys went out, you know, Peter was crucified upside down. They had power. It was the power of God that came and changed everything. It's like, whoa. So the power of God came. And you'll get people in Christianity, or even those who point a finger and say, oh, these people are just the man of the hour for the power or something like that. And it's all about power. It's like, do you know who God is? He's supernatural. There's power. He is powerful. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. Right? He's all-almighty, totally. He's El Shaddai. He's the mighty one, the mighty one, the almighty one. That means anything that he wants to do, he's going to do, and he's looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And, okay, we can say that, and then he says, but I'm looking for the ones who will walk humbly with a contrite heart. Humbly. It's like, okay, well then, Lord, I want to humble myself. Good idea. Good plan. Humble yourself under my mighty hand, and I will lift you up at due time. In due time. I looked at that 3-foot banner on a felt banner in my Bible classroom among 6 others. There were 7, all multicolored, the rainbow room. It was great. It was like, yes. And going through, this is wonderful. And a few years later, there was a major trial in my life, and I would stare at that and go, yeah, trust in the Lord. Okay, yeah, that's right. Humble yourself under my mighty hand. And so all those scriptures that were on the wall and these banners were speaking to me when the Lord said, honey, I'm going to show you a lot. Hang on, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm still learning through all of that. So, having said that, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This was laid on my heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I've got to find this here. Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth. Excuse me. And I want to look at verse 14, actually, through 23. I don't have time here to go through the entire chapter, but if you do have some time, I would read it if I were you. Well, I was actually sharing a couple of these verses on the live stream to our Brazil folks and family and all that last Thursday, and I really didn't know where I was going and what I was going to do, which is not unusual at all. And so I said, okay, Lord, it's like 6:25, and I need a verse. Tell me what you want, honestly. And that's what he gave me. He didn't give me the whole passage. I think he gave me one of these. It might have been 16. And it was like, boom. So I went to it. And I remember saying on the live, and it was a hour thing. I remember saying, oh, it's so good to see everybody in Brazil. I can't wait. And I knew that it was going to be so exciting because the Lord's going to reveal great and mighty things. And it was a faith statement. I believed it. Because I trust the Lord. And, you know, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to be preaching or speaking about. So I just want to go through this a little bit, because the Lord, when he went through these verses, and it was, I believe it was starting in 14 through 23, 21, I'm sorry, I misspoke here. This is NASB. I want to look at it. He says, Paul is saying, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. It's like, oh, okay. So Paul is saying, hey, look, I'm your spiritual dad. It's the way it is. That's who I am. Imitate me. Like, whoa, what's a spiritual dad? What does that look like? What does that mean? He says, I have the authority from heaven to help you. But I'm going to do it in the way that he tells me because I want you guys to get this. And Saul thought he was doing a great job helping God, but he was wrong. And then the Lord came and not so gently let him know that, excuse me, it's about me, not you, and I'm going to take you through a process. It was pretty grueling for him. Do you know that he was taught for 14 years? It wasn't just, oh, hello. But at the same time, God used him quickly, knowing that he was in process, quickly. And that's a concept that we don't get. It's kind of like, well, you got to pay the price, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And it's like God is saying, I'm in charge, and I'm going to do things my way quickly because I'm going to know people by the Spirit because I already do. And not that I'm going to, I do. And you are going to learn how to do that in your wisdom of, you know, trying to figure out my principles in Scripture. It's like, thank you, sir. I want to hear from you. So he says in 15, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ I became your father through the gospel. Through the gospel. It's like, whoa, what does that mean? Through the gospel. He got it. He's understanding the gospel. He's living in the power of the gospel. He's living in it and then speaking from that place. And what's so funny about this, as I'm going through this, God then took me what I thought was backwards because it's in chapter 2. But it wasn't backwards. It's exactly how the Lord wanted to set it up for what he wanted to use me for, because I really didn't know. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. It's like, so he's speaking that out to those whose ears didn't figure that out. In other words, the spiritual release that had happened in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, not called 1, 2, and 3 as he's penning this letter, they still needed more. Maybe all of them, maybe most of them, I don't know. But this is what he put there. But he qualified who he was long before this. And that's what I want to show you. But they didn't see it. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. So for this reason, because of the gospel of the kingdom, because I am positioned to walk in the fullness of the Father, I've been through this, I get this, I'm still learning, I'm the least of the least. Yet he's a great apostle. It's just like, wow, such humility. Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you. So here he is in, we call chapter 4, saying, and some of you are arrogant as though I'm really not coming. In other words, you're not seeing what the Lord is saying. And I've already penned things. I've already been there, but I'm going to come back. And he says, I want you to get this. I want you to see that that's arrogant. When you put your own mind into something, that's arrogant. I deal with that. I don't know about you. It's like, Lord, that's arrogant. You didn't say that. I felt that. I sensed, I thought that. So that's my thinking. I don't want that. I want your mind. I want your thoughts. And I'm in that process for the rest of my life till I go home with Jesus. All of us, right? And he says, I want to use you that way so that you'll hear what I'm doing and then be able to step into that. And at the time when I was in Poland, you know, I looked at this young man from a different country and I thought, he can give the gospel. He can do that. And the Lord's saying, do exactly what he's asking you to do because there's a reason you don't understand. Oh, and it really was helpful afterwards. Not just, let me say, not just for the salvation and deliverance of this young man, Arthur, if I have the name right. Is that the right name, Rach? Is it Arthur? Yeah, oh, good. But also for the people that we were imparting life to and teaching and training. Because there were 5 sessions for prophetic evangelism. 2 of them happened at the camp, and then 3 of them happened in Krakow. It's like, wow. But our whole life is an opportunity to impart to other people. We just impart as we're able to and as we're led. And sometimes we're invited into some other type of venue and we want to be prepared for that. So Paul says, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. And I shall find out. Now get this. Not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. What do you think he's saying? He's talking about the very essence of the gospel, which is powerful. The gospel of the kingdom, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. It's like, whoa. Ever read that in Romans 1:16? We sing it, we dance it. But the Lord says, when you see my power, when you carry my power, when you release my power, things are gonna happen, and they're gonna happen much more quickly. And there may be a process that I take you through that's not so fun, but I'm determined and I'm gonna get you where I need you to be because I want you to be free. I want to use you because I'm coming soon, and I want you to be used to take as many people with you because the end is coming. And the end is not, you know, there's some things that we're gonna go through, but I'd rather go through whatever we can right now to be able to be completely undone in the Lord as I'm basking in his presence and worshiping and all the things that we do, understanding more of his nature, understanding who he is, understanding what he's like. It's like, okay, I get it. You're God, I'm not. What does this look like? And he wants us to stay, you know, kind of like on the edge. I'm not going to fall, don't worry. But just like, who are you and what are you like? What? I want to know you. Back in the early days of Bible study, back in the Stone Age here, it seems like, you know, we would sing, oh, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and share in the fellowship of your sufferings, Philippians 3:10. We even had a nice little necklace. I don't know if you guys remember. Does anybody remember? We had this little chain thing and what looked like dog tags. Does anybody remember that? Some of you remember that? I don't know what year it was, but anyway, I don't know if I have mine still, but it said Philippians 3:10, I think, on there. It was like, yeah. And it's like, you haven't seen anything yet, honey. Oh, yes, I have. No, you haven't. Watch where this is going in your life. But I will come to you soon, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. Let's leave that up there. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. What? Now, if you write that out and meditate on that for the rest of our lives, each one of us, it's like, Lord, what's that look like? Power. There's power. Power in the name of Jesus. Okay. But I want to walk in it, and I don't want his power to smash me, crash me, because with the wave of what's coming with his power, we need to be in a place of already repentance, because we're going to be flat on our faces in a good way. And the Lord's power is so strong, it could wipe us out in a heartbeat. But by his grace, he doesn't. He says, I want you to look around. I want you to see the people around you. I want you to know the people around you. I want you to see people by the Spirit. Do you believe that somebody on their last legs, who might be whatever age, can be lifted up in an instant? I mean, just like an instant through the power of God, as he's releasing that? I'm going to show you something in just a minute. It's going to bless you. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Next one. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? He gives them a choice, kind of. He just keeps going because he's Paul. And he's saying, what do you want? I've got to give you the words that I'm getting from Papa, because he's really strong and he's a good father and he wants us to line up his way because he loves us so much. That's what love does, in a good way. And many times, if things are let go, they're too loosey-goosey, we let other people suffer more consequences thinking we're being a good father or mother. Honestly, we don't see. So the Lord teaches us, you know, how to walk in what real love, real mercy, and real compassion looks like, which will provide a barrier, a boundary, a good boundary around people. We do that all the time, some of us with kids or grandkids, some of us. Maybe some need to help. Their eyes need to see more of that for the sake of the other people. And Paul, he got this. And he's still, you know, he's gone through all kinds of persecutions, all kinds of difficulties in his life to be able to write something like this. Okay. Next. Was that the last? Was that 21? Oh, good. Okay. All right, so I got to the end there, and I was asking the Lord while I was preaching, 12:04, and I said, Lord, now what? He says, go to chapter 2. It's like, oh, chapter 2. So I got my Bible out, and I'm reading chapter 2. Put 2 up, you guys. It's you, and I'm going to go through this quickly because you need to go through this yourselves. Because I don't have a lot of time here, because I want to show you, give you some testimonies. Okay, he says, now this is at the beginning. Now he's already written this, and this is his appeal. Okay, I'm not going to talk about the first chapter. We don't have time for that. You can read that. But chapter 2, this is all about Paul's reliance on the Spirit. Okay, so those who have ears to hear will get it. Those who don't have ears to hear will be drawn in for their ears to be able to hear. By the time he got to chapter 4, he was met with even more, potentially, arrogance, or the ears were not hearing, but yet he writes it. And many times we camp here without going to chapter 4, and it's like, wow, I never saw that before that way. I really didn't. So I'm talking to the people in Brazil going, oh, yeah, now I see that. Okay, I'm going that direction. It wasn't backwards. It's your way. It's the upside-down kingdom. Wow. So when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I think that's what we would probably label as vulnerability. It's like, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. Oh, boy. Read these three verses or four verses coming in the Lord's presence alone. And just like, Lord, you know, I know you love me, Daddy. I know I'm struggling to be a son or a daughter. Okay, he understands that. But he's saying, come on, kids, let's go. It's time. Some of us will move more quickly than others. And sometimes we say, well, that's just my process. Sometimes we can stay in a process because we don't want to see what can be. And so if we approach the Lord and say, what can be, here I am, and I just give myself to you, I present myself to you, many times there will be, you know, things that will happen more quickly. Or, as I was talking to Pastor Benjamin, I will call him, and I'm going to show you some things. You can actually get the testimony up of not him speaking right now. That'll be after. But the lady who was being spoken to, those pictures. Okay, do you know what I'm talking about? I hope so. If not, ask Ashley and Andy. Okay, and my messages and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And so what I was talking about with Pastor Benjamin about that was that what he has gone through that took a very long time for someone who was walking very closely with the Lord, 3.5 years in prison, contending for his life, being accused of what he didn't do, and still having to go through the process, becoming so involved in the persecution that was going on with other people in Southeast Asia who were in a similar role, maybe, of, you know, being in the ministry and being persecuted. So he was persecuted for his faith. Oh, well, that's okay because he didn't do anything. The person who did something, oh, man, you know, boom, 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 and we shoot the gun. Then the Lord says, excuse me, I'm going to unpack and show you the bigger picture. Take a look at the Apostle Paul. You talk about doing some things that were sideways, upside down, and wrong. Just didn't get it. But he was destined for greatness, and the Lord did intervene and brought him to that place through the Damascus Road experience and then other things in his life. And so this guy that I was talking to, this Arthur, I thought, wow, God, what do you have for him? He's young. He's in his 20s. What have you got for him? He didn't get this message when he was 30, when he was 40, when he was 50. He got it then. I don't know. Does it have something to do with God's economy, what's going on in the world? Yes. Does it have something to do with last days? Yes. Does it have something to do with I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and your sons and daughters will prophesy, etc.? Yes. So the timing of God is very important. And he wants the Spirit of the living God in us as we are being cultivated in the transforming process. He wants the Spirit to remain and then increase. And he wants us to be able to fight well. And he wants us to be able to be used to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Yes. Which means, AKA, again, supernatural. He wants us to live and minister supernaturally. Well, you're just too much. I hope not. I want to be too much. I want that to be a good thing. I want to have so much of Jesus that I want more. I want more. And he's changing me in the process with the things I've gone through in many years. So my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words. I'm reading it again. I know we read it before. Not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So in other words, it's both. He's not saying, I'm trying to convince you, but his words were persuasive. What you're reading is persuasive. We're called to know the word, to release the word, and we will be used as influencers. That's our job. It's our role. The Holy Spirit speaking through us. Sometimes we take a back seat. Hope God does it, and he's waiting for us. He says, okay, I'm waiting for you. As you are transformed in my presence, you will take the steps out. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. And, you know, it wasn't easy at first. People didn't believe him. They were like, he's a scary dude. Or he's done this or he's done that. And God said, he's my vessel. And he puts together dreams and visions for Ananias and Paul to let him know what he's going to do. What I love about the Lord, and I want to get through this quickly and then touch on a couple of these verses in the vision and wrap this up in about 15 minutes if I can. I want to be able to see that when God says, look, I'm faithful, trust me, that he's going to unpack what I need when I need it as I am faithful. It's like, well, he's faithful even if I'm not. Yes, he is. But he defines what faithfulness to each one of us looks like. So I want to be where he wants me to be because I only have one chance, one life. This is it. I don't have another life, like reincarnation says. Okay, so this is a very exciting time because the Lord says we are in a place where doors are open. It's latter rain. I want you to receive the rain. I want you to get this. I want you to see it. I'm pouring out my spirit, and I want you to contend for even more of that. That's the heart behind Relentless Pursuit. We've been doing it every year. It's like, okay, does that mean it's going to look like every year? No. Are we in this building? Right now we are. Okay. But the Lord wants us also to be expecting that the Spirit of God is going to be poured out in power and authority. I want to be where, you know, under the spout where the glory comes out or something like that. I don't know how that's worded. Somebody came up with that, not me. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. There's the qualifier. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, if they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just as it is written, and it's in all caps for many reasons. Let's just read it. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Back that up, would you? Please? Thank you. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Whoa. That just, the fear of God just like is released. You can keep going. I want you to think about that. I want you to spend time meditating on that part of Scripture. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. See, right there, I would say, Lord, I want to know those things freely given right now. Count me in. That's where I want to be. That's who I am, imperfect as I am, with edges that I have. That's where I am. I want to connect with you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and share in the fellowship of your sufferings, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. For he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's leave that there. It's the last verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. When I first read that verse many years ago, it's like, I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ. He says, the Spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead mixed with your spirit enables you to carry my thoughts, to have my thoughts. Because you're postured for my thoughts, my will, my emotions. And they will become you because I made you in my image. That's how important you are to me. That's how much I see you. That's how much I value you. I have the mind of Christ. Search me, O God, and show me where that's not in full effect. Search me, O God, and show me any hurtful or wicked way in me. The last verse, couple of verses in Psalm 139. Search me, God. Search me, because I want to search you out for those hidden mysteries. And that's a really fast way, but I wanted to get that out for you to encourage you in 1 Corinthians 2 and see why Paul had to keep going in 1 Corinthians 4. It's like, Lord, I want to camp in 2, and I want to imitate the ones who are caring who you are. I want to see it. I want to imitate. In other words, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead in them. And the Lord will provide that in our lives. He's already doing it. He just wants us to have eyes to see. Okay, so we can put those pictures up. This lady, let me get her name, because I don't remember it. Hang on a second. Okay, I just received from Pastor Benjamin. I received him an indication of what's going on in India, and that's why we're calling him Pastor in Southeast Asia, India, which is fine to also add. But Pastor Benjamin, and I can read what's going on, which he read or wrote to me and sent to me, and he said, you can read it on the live, so if I have time, I will get there. So that you understand what we're dealing with in these last days in this particular country, and this is for other areas of Southeast Asia as well. But what I want to give you is the picture of this lady. Oh, what is her name? Okay, one second. I don't want to say it wrong. Her name is Bligenberg, Bligenberg. And if you can put these pictures up. Okay, this lady is 92. Okay, 92. We're not there, right? 92. But we have family members. We have friends who are 92. Or younger or older. It's like, you know, Barb Ramey is 90, part of Frontline, and God has just poof, turned her upside down, saved her. No, I asked her daughter, she's 90. Mm-hmm. She's 90 now. Turned her upside down, released from the hospital, in rehab right now. It's amazing, amazing miracle last week, taken in for a stroke. Anyway. Just wanted to mention that to you all. But this lady is 92. And I just told you where she is or who she is. And she's living in Holland right now. The next picture, please. Okay, she's receiving her miracle right now after the impartation from Pastor Benjamin. And his wife is translating. Okay? She's watching. She's receiving. Next one. She's receiving right there. Her arms went up. And this is a person in Holland who is not walking in the power of God. This is not her portion. Doesn't go to a church where this is going on. And right now, Pastor Benjamin's wife was able to get to Holland and is there right now after 11 years. 11 years of not going back because her passport was taken when her husband was carted off to prison. And his passport was taken, too. And what they've gone through, not just 3.5 years there, is a death of a parent, two parents, actually, and birth of a baby, and all kinds of things during this siege of being in prison, persecuted for his faith in Jesus, but also watching what God was doing to restore all things. So they're on the other side of the restoration. It's really good. But they're working mightily in the persecuted church. I just want to tell you that. And that's why all this is going on. Is there another one there? Was that it? And this was just given. She's home. Did you notice she was in a wheelchair? She's up walking now. She's totally healed. And what he told me on the phone was that her kidneys had completely shut down. And the doctor said you could die any moment. There's nothing working. So she was crying. And Adriana, Pastor Benjamin's wife, was just about to go. You know, this happened, I'm not sure exactly when, but she's just getting ready to go to Holland for the first time in 11 years to see her family that she comes from when God moved her then to Southeast Asia to marry Pastor Benjamin. It's crazy. After 11 years, and I have a video of her getting off the plane or, you know, going through customs and all that and seeing her family for the first time. That's the price that she's had to pay. And he's had to pay part of it. But the anointing that is so great on their lives is just remarkable. So what we're going to do with this woman is eating, she's walking, she's not in a wheelchair, she's home. She's 92 years old. How many of us have relatives and we think, you know, they're done. They're not going to change. And some of us have relatives who've gone home to be with the Lord. I remember, you know, back in 2018, we were in Brazil, and I received a call from my family saying that my dad was going to pass. And it's like, what? Get home right away. So we got home right away, and I asked the Lord. I said, from all things that you can see, that's what it looks like. And that's what he was saying. But got the word of the Lord, and the Lord said, it's not his time. It's like, oh my gosh, how do I say that? So that was communicated, and through a lot of different things that the family helped us with, everything turned around, and my dad was around for, it wasn't 2018, I forget what year it was, but that was, do you remember in Brazil? It was January, and he was there until December, yeah. So God had a plan, not my plan, but God's plan. So the Lord has a plan. So if you do have loved ones who have gone home to be with the Lord, don't like, oh, I should have done this or that. No, the Lord has us here for the message today or where we can go from here. So just think about that. So what we're going to do in the last few minutes that we have, I'm going to give you part of this so that you can see. And a live stream, we're turning this off. You will hear, but you will not see what you are going to see. And so we're not recording this either, so no cell phones. But you can hear some of the ways that Pastor Benjamin was able to be used by God for to bring this miracle that never even mentioned, let's pray for your healing. It's just amazing. But the Lord put it on his heart. This is what I need you to do. And then they prepared this video. So we're going to play part of it, not all of it, because it's a little bit, it's 6-7 minutes or something, and I want to share some other things, okay? So make sure, no mistakes, and it's not on live. We got that. We're ready to go. Okay, good. And this is Pastor.